Do you remember the Phillips file used to have dot 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 dot? Hold your ears, folks. It's
it's showtime. It is showtime, everybody. It is a Wear a Baseball Cap Wednesday on the Pete and Brian Experience. We're going to rename our show. Leadership and Laugh with Pete and Brian. Giving you guys a little backstage as we get started today. I was asking Brian about his lid. So if you're listening on the audio podcast, you can't see it. But if you're watching, Brian, tell us a little bit about your hat today.
Well, what I'm wearing here is a hat that I got from a restaurant here in Denver called Park Burger. And they have it is one of the finest burgers. And Pete, you know me pretty well. And I'm guessing that some of our listeners know,
no doubt,
know that if I tell you, if I give you an endorsement on a good burger, it's going to be good. So, yeah, this is from Park Burger. They don't sell it. And if you can't see what I'm looking at here, it's the Colorado C, the big C in the Colorado flag. Yes. And then right in the middle is a juicy, delicious hamburger.
Somehow I wanted to bring you full screen and didn't do it there and don't know how that happened. So look at that, though.
So look at that. What you got on your head?
I am repping Coastal Cotton. Which was a gift, and it means nothing, and they don't serve cheeseburgers in their organization. So that's awesome, buddy. Well, listen, everybody, we have got a great show. Todd's excited that we're doing Baseball Cap Wednesday. As you all know, if it's your first time watching us, a lot going on. We didn't do last week's show, buddy, because of the presidential election in the United States. We have international listeners, so want to make sure you knew we weren't talking about some other election. And there was so much going on last Wednesday, we didn't want to carry that over and all this. So we just took last Wednesday off. But we're glad y'all are with us today. We're pretty excited about what we've got. And we've got a super surprise today, too. Something that we have not done yet on the live stream.
A super surprise.
So stay tuned. Let's get the old theme song going here. We'll get fired. Could we be more professional? Could we?
That is really exciting. And happy Veterans Day, by the way.
Happy Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to my dad, who was in the Korean War. I put a post out on Facebook to recognize him. So, absolutely. You got any military in your family?
We do. Buddy? We do. And some of our grandparents were over there, fighting the Nazis in the greatest generation over there in World War II.
Yep, our buddy Todd, who's always on with us. I know his dad, Lee, was in the service. So, again, to everybody in any branch of service, Army, or if you go back to the stripes, say Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. Let's not forget the Coast Guard. So, anyhow, what's going on in Denver, baby?
Oh, man. Well, like I said, it's Veterans Day. We're appreciative and thankful for all who have served and continue to serve our great country. Like Pete said before, this tends to just not really be a hard-hitting political show.
No.
Some of the things we discuss today or, during Leadership and Laughs may wind up being loosely related to some of the things that are going on in the world that we live in. But, for this 1 hour a week, we try to keep it as beautiful and lovely as the day in Denver here was today.
Absolutely. Words you will not hear from us today are words like recount, transition, and maybe even gumbo. I don't know.
No gumbo?
Yeah, no, I was waiting for you to throw something out there. No gumbo. So this is episode 28, buddy. We're rocking and rolling on 28, well on our way to 100. And just having a good time. So again, we hope this is the best hour of your week. If you've got friends, if you're watching us live right now and you've got friends, go ahead and type their names in the Facebook chat or the LinkedIn chat so that they can maybe follow us, because you got to follow either Brian or I on Facebook or LinkedIn to kind of watch. So go ahead and do that. And we're going to start our first segment's always called Leading Off with Brian. And it's just a way to kind of share some good news stories, some exciting stories about things that are going on that we can tie leadership lessons to. So here we go. Brian, I hope you can hear that. That's your own theme song musing. It's good.
It sounds good, Pete. It makes me very, very excited.
It makes you feel professional. All right, what do you got for us today, buddy?
Oh, man. Like we said, we don't stick our heads in the sand about all the things going on in the world. We are going to talk politics, Pete. We're going to talk politics right now.
On this show?
Yeah, we usually try to stay away from that, but this one's too good not to share.
All right.
I brought up that picture up there, Pete. The good citizens of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. They've spoken in their recent election, and their next mayor will be a six-month-old French bulldog, Wilbur Beast. This is Wilbur Beast we're looking at here. If you're listening in your car, if you're not watching the live podcast, this is a little French bulldog
wearing
car, wearing a red, white, and blue beanie hat.
He's also in an MG convertible, which you don't see that very often. Look at that.
So Rabbit Hash is a small community located in Boone County, Kentucky. And they've actually been electing dogs as mayor since 1988.
Stop it.
When a dog named Goofy Bornman won a four-year term as mayor. It's actually their mayor election actually serves as a fundraiser for the community. So it's about a 3.5 acre town that's maintained by the Rabbit Hash Historical Society. And anybody can vote. Votes aren't limited to residents of the town. Anyone in the world can vote for the mayor. And each ballot costs $1. And $1 that goes towards maintaining Rabbit Hash. So here you see the tote board. Tote board's light.
Tote board's light. Stella the Fat Cat was not doing well. I'm looking at... Hey, my dad, Poppy. Poppy got 24-17. How about that? Higgins, Jack Rabbit.
Jack Rabbit was cleaning up there. But look at Wilbur. Look at Wilbur's total.
$13,000
that was raised. So he ran it. He ran a very good campaign. The new mayor's owner is 43-year-old Amy Noland.
There she is. I had her too early up there. I'm sorry.
There she is. She says he won because of his fierce outreach strategy this election. So
that just makes me happy because there's so many stories out there. How can we be more creative, you know, Brian, as leaders with things that cause divisiveness or controversy or things we don't agree on? We can all agree on cute dogs and voting for dogs and stuff like that. So that's a fun way. And where does all the money go to, you said?
So the money goes to the actual town, to maintaining the town. It's a very small community. Okay. If you just tuned in, we are talking about a dog who is the mayor of a small community in the great state of Kentucky, in the Commonwealth, great Commonwealth.
In the Commonwealth, if you will. You know, I've heard about dead people being elected, you know, mayors and things like that, you know, but never the dog. So that's awesome, buddy. I love that. Well, I love dogs. All right. How are you going to make this transition for me? Speaking of dogs.
Speaking of dogs running for mayor, this is a feel-good story and a little bit of a callback to something we discussed back in August. You remember when we talked about the massive explosion that happened at the port of Beirut over in Lebanon?
Yes.
And, you know, that was the one where they had a huge stockpile of ammonium nitrate that exploded in a fire and killed and injured thousands of people. And it seems like so long ago, but that was just in August. Well, Lebanon has already, had already been reeling from years of political turmoil and collapse. And then they got the coronavirus over there as well. And the weight of it all, you know, including the blast, really kind of paralyzed the small country for a while. So one of the residents. Her name is Hayat Nazar.
I have a photo of her here. Is that her right there? That
is her right there. She joined the efforts, like a lot of the citizens did, to help clean debris and restore the city to, you know, its former standing. And that's when she got the idea to use some of what she found in the debris to help create a statue that will inspire her people to, you know, come together and help rebuild. And stories like this just always inspire me.
Yep.
You know, here's something that really touches on the arts and leadership.
Look at that.
You know, so there it is. Yeah, she, for weeks, she walked the streets of Beirut collecting, you know, the twisted metal and the broken glass. And she said she traveled to friends' homes and people's homes after they were destroyed. And she asked them, she said, you know, like, can you give me anything that I can include to make you part of my sculpture? And she was shocked because people gave her really personal but valuable things from their childhood, things that they're, you know, things that were their grandparents who had died in the Lebanese Civil War, things they wanted to save for their own children, but they gave it up to the community. So a lot of emotion went into it, and she put them all together. So if you can't see the statue here.
Yeah. And let me say something about this. Yeah. This picture that everybody's looking at, when you can see it, it's a haunting, it's the best word I can do, picture, because you can see an incredible amount of construction material, an incredible amount of cranes, looks like what might be a damaged building in the back, right? And then you've got this almost symbol of hope of this statue that was
created. It's in addition to just being inspiring, it's beautiful. It's a woman. It's a statue of a woman raising Lebanon's flag, and you know, her hair and dress are kind of flowing in the wind. And it also features, if you go back to that other one, you'll see
a
damaged clock.
I saw that
was added to the base, where it's stuck right at 6:08 p.m. or a.m., the moment of the explosion.
Wow. Yeah, that's beautiful. And again, to tie this back into leadership, this is not a good connection, but from a positive way, something that Disney does sometimes when they open new attractions is they'll ask cast members to come over and maybe sign a piece of it. I know as they're building the Tron attraction, we talked about this, they want cast members to sign the beams, so they're part of it. I was over at a construction company in Atlanta doing some stuff for them, and they were redoing their brick fireplace, and they had all of the people sign one of the bricks who worked there. So as they built it. So now this is more of a horrific, you know, post event happening, but the same concept, like you said, people giving their own person because they want to be part of something bigger. They want to be part of an emotional creation. So I can see how that would definitely make the statue designer feel better, but also make the people feel like, you know, it's part of them.
Right. It's part of the, you know, as well. They're part of the community and the rebuild.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Before we go to your last story, just a reminder, our first story was about dogs. Joseph says, make sure they don't elect cats.
Yeah.
Because you know how they are.
We love
Mercy. All right. What do you got for the third story? How are we going from dogs to Beirut? How are you going to bring us home here, buddy?
Well, we're going to go global pandemic here.
I'm sorry to laugh. These are our feel-good stories. Beirut explosion, pandemic.
out of something awful, something good. So here.
Thank you.
All right. You know, one of the groups that we're celebrating as a global community during this pandemic has been our medical workers on the front line. Yep. And you know, all of us think they really deserve the world. And one company actually came in and created something that not only will, you know, give them some recognition, but also a really nice break once in a while.
Okay.
So this is called the Hero Recharge Program, and it provides free outdoor adventures like surfing and rock climbing and mountain biking, as we see here, to hundreds of frontline healthcare workers in major cities across the United States. So the program is run by a company, a nonprofit called First Descents, that organizes adventure retreats for young people with cancer and multiple sclerosis. But, you know, as the pandemic overwhelmed healthcare workers, many of them, you know, risking their own lives and you know, dealing with burnout and illness and even PTSD and depression, the organization's founders found a way to help. So Brad Ludden is the founder of First Descents. Here's Brad here speaking to CNN. And, you know, he said these healthcare workers have been stuck for days, weeks, months now inside without seeing the light of day. So, you know, giving them a chance to be outdoors is tremendously powerful for healing and connection with others who are in the same boat as them. And it's just, you know, one of the most powerful things that he felt like he could provide for them.
This picture that I'm showing right now that you sent me is a bunch of folks around like an outdoor fire pit. Is this like, are they, is, because you talked about mountain biking and all that, is part of it sharing as well and group, yes, group dynamics?
Yes. It's a chance to connect with other frontline medical workers like yourself. And the picture we're looking at is a whole group of people sitting around a campfire. And you'll notice everybody wearing masks. And, you know, keeping that proper social distance because these are medical professionals. But, yeah, they they get to sort of do this as a team building and you know, reward as well.
And that's something I think, buddy, we all got to be looking to right now as leaders with the whole concept of, I don't know what's happening in Denver, but right now in Alabama, our numbers are going back up again. We've got a few school districts that are starting to say we're going back to remote learning. So again, there's quite a cautionary tale right now of they were working hard before, maybe it wasn't so bad in the past 4 to 6 weeks, but at least where we are, the numbers are going to go up. And how do we make sure that all of these frontline workers, especially in the healthcare industry, that their mental and physical needs are being taken care of? So is this a nationwide thing or is this just a regional thing? Do you know?
I don't know. That's okay. Good question. It was reported nationwide.
What's the name of it again? Just so if people want to look it up and see.
Yeah, it's called the Hero Recharge Program.
Hero Recharge Program.
I remember that because it's actually the title on my show doc. It's the Hero Recharge Program run by the nonprofit First Descents, as in like descending down a mountain.
Awesome. Awesome. Outstanding. Well, man, that was Leading Off with Brian. Good job, everybody. Feel free to leave your comments, stories that kind of motivated you or inspired you there. Thanks, man. I mean, I love getting started with your stories because they remind us that we're also focused on the negative stuff in life right now and the good we can do just as humans and as leaders and as coworkers and as family and friends. Man, we can do a lot right now. So speaking of people who do a lot, we got a new segment for you. This we got is a new right. segment. Yeah, we're give right. me a bell. Give me a bell for a new segment.
Bell. Hey, I've got...
Yes, it's a new segment. So we've got this new segment where we didn't want our show to be an interview type show. There are a lot of great podcasts and live streams where they bring in one person and they interview them for the full hour. That's not really us. We like to go back and forth, witty banter, tell some stories, break it up, all that. So there's audiences for that. But we do every now and then want to bring somebody on. So this is a new segment called Learn from a Living Leader. And I think I actually, Brian, have a little music for it. So stay tuned while I pull this up. Where's the button, bro? Oh, here it is.
Who does Pete respect? This person coming up next. It's time to learn from a living leader.
It's time to learn from a living leader. And we don't bring in the dead ones, Brian. We only bring in the living ones. This is like one of those sports talk shows. So anyhow, everybody, say hello to my good buddy, Anthony D. Sparks. You can find out more from him at anthonydsparks.com. Anthony is a friend of mine. We've known each other in the world of leadership training for at least the past 5, 6, 7 years. And Anthony, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been excited about it. Looking forward to it.
That's cool. That's cool. So again, the reason we're bringing you on, and again, Brian is kind of meeting you for the first time today, is to talk just a little bit about, we're focused on leadership today, not the negative side, but the positive side. So let's just get right into it, man. Tell us a little bit about your take on leadership. How do you motivate, inspire others? A little bit about your background and how you do that.
Okay. Well, first off, thank you, Pete and Brian for the invitation. Just in this little bit of time that I've been kind of backstage hearing, man, I'm loving what you guys do. Love the energy, leadership and laughs. I think those two things absolutely go together because they need to go together.
No doubt.
Because leadership can be crazy. And so you need as much laughter as possible. But as you said, my name is just Anthony Sparks. I am the owner and operator of my own speaking, coaching and consulting company, Anthony D. Sparks, LLC. Where I do a lot of training, facilitating, team building, coaching, speaking, et cetera. And so I've been doing that now full time for about a little over 3 years. And before that, I served for 10 years in various leadership capacities, starting with being a branch manager for Regions Bank. And then for about 6 years, I served as the executive director for the YMCA's Youth Development Center in Birmingham. And for about a year or so, year and a half or so, I served as the Jefferson County site coordinator or director for a local nonprofit here, managing their federal grant program. So, got some experience in the leadership.
You're doing it
for sure.
And by the way, thanks for putting on a lid. I noticed when we first had Anthony on pre-show, he didn't have one, but he realized it was Baseball Cap Wednesday, apparently. So, I hope he didn't run out and buy that somewhere real quick. Oh, it's also No Hair Wednesday.
There we go.
All right, buddy. Give us your take on leadership in COVID. Everybody out there is either leading, managing, trying to inspire teams that are working remotely or teams that have been separated or back and forth. What do we need to know right now, or what are you seeing out there around how do you manage during this time of COVID?
What
tips we need?
Yeah, I think when it comes to COVID, one thing that I really think that it's done is I think it's kind of tested the effectiveness or efficacy of leadership, of our leadership. And the reason being is because, you know, when you go from leading in person to now leading in person and remotely, and you're leading, you know, whether you don't know if you're going to be open or open fully or open partially or, you know, not at all. I just think that COVID has really, really, really been a time of proofing and proving for a whole lot of leaders to see if what we're actually doing is leadership or management. And the difference, the distinction I make with those two, and again, it's kind of splitting hairs, but the distinction for me is leadership is really focused on people, whereas management is really focused on a process or a product. Both are important, but when it comes to the true nuts and bolts of leadership, it's about your people. And so I think COVID has really, really, really put leaders on notice in a good way to see if what we're doing is actually working and if it's transferable across, you know, regardless of the circumstances. So
do you think that we're all defaulting to management right now because it's just easier? We don't know how to deal with the emotions. We don't know how to deal with the. So let me just get into the task side. Or do you find some people are becoming better leaders?
Well, I definitely think it's a combination. I think there are some who understandably are managing from a, you know, a process or product standpoint, whereas others are still focused on people. I think what you should do, again, just my humble opinion, is that if you find yourself getting into a place of managing as opposed to leading, I would say kind of take a step back and try to get back into the leadership of it. Because right now, you know, regardless of your position, your station, where you are, I think people need leadership. They need to know that the job they're doing, of course, matters, but the person they're doing it for actually cares. And so I think that is tantamount right now. And so I think if you are defaulting to management, it's understandable. But if you find yourself defaulting, try to course correct and get back to leading, because people need to know you care about them and what they're going through right now.
Yep. Ryan, I know you had a couple questions, but
well, you know, first of all, spoiler alert, you know, our next segment is called Over Under. It's a game show. And a lot of what Anthony just told us or talked to us about is going to be referenced. A little foreshadowing there. But, you know, Anthony, as a motivational speaker, you specialize in talking to organizations about things like team building and leadership development, but also about purpose. Yes. And, you know, you like to say that your purpose is to help others live a life of purpose on purpose. And I wanted you to explain what that means to our leaders.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you for checking in on me and checking up on me.
I didn't even know he had a website. That's just what I know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
I know. Man, that's actually my mantra. I've been saying that now for about, I think about roughly about 5 or 6 years. Whenever someone asks, you know, when we're talking about purpose and the question comes up, you know, what my purpose is, that's what I tell them, is to help others live a life of purpose on purpose. And what I mean by that is simply that I think that if you're gonna live the fullest life you can, if you're gonna do, you know, everything that you're destined and designed to do, then I want you to do it as intentionally as possible. And so, you know, it's one thing to slip up into success or slip onto it or just kind of accidentally find it. But I think the fulfillment comes when day in, day out, you're waking up knowing exactly what it is you're driven to do, what it is you're designed and destined to do. And so my goal when I talk to individuals and organizations when the moment calls for it is to help people know that you know, purpose is something that should be embraced, because I think until you find it, it something is always going to feel like it's missing. And so with that being said, if I can help somebody kind of tap into, you know, why they're here, what it is they're meant to do, then I think I've helped somebody really, really, really put some definition into their life and really help them find some fulfillment and some achievement. And so my whole goal is to help people be successful on purpose, not just, you know, accidentally. And if it is accidental, the problem with that is typically when it's accidental, it can't be replicated. And so my goal is to always help people scale it, replicate it, because again, I just believe that it's sustainable when it's intentional as opposed to accidental.
Would you agree when people are accidentally successful, when people think that they're accidentally successful, would you agree that a lot of times, a lot of work went into that behind the scenes or ahead of time, you know, talking about that intentionality that you referred to, you know, that all happened, you know, before, and now, oops, I got accidentally successful. Well, it was a lot of hard work in the beginning before that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great, great question. Honestly, I think if somebody does, describe or believe that their success is accidental, or in other words, lucky, I think it's doing them a disservice. Because I truly believe in the phrase that I think it's something like luck or success or luck is when opportunity meets preparation. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, we might call it luck, you know, pejoratively, but honestly, if you've been putting in the work behind the scenes and all of a sudden something happens, that wasn't an all of a sudden thing. The opportunity just presented itself, but you had been working towards it for a long time. And so, so I don't really think, you know, I'm not one who believes in luck. I think everything is by design. And again, I think that if you've put in the work behind the scenes, at some point that door is going to open for you. And because of the work you've put in on the front end, you're going to be ready to walk through it once it does open.
Yeah, and that's a great example. Like, for example, this live stream has 2 viewers, but it doesn't matter to us, Anthony. We're gonna still do it, because again, like you said, put in the work behind the scenes. What is your purpose? What do you want to accomplish? I think all those things are things that we all need to work on. All right, I'll put you on the spot here. One last thing. Looking ahead to 2021, yep. Leadership traits. Give me 2 or 3 leadership traits or behaviors that you think all of us as leaders are going to need moving ahead into 2021.
The first one, just right off the bat, as easy as it gets, patience. I think we're going to have to exercise almost inordinate amounts of patience, because the what we knew as normal is no longer. Right. Like we're in a totally different ball game now. And I think one of the worst things that we say, and I know what we mean when we say it, but when we're talking about getting back to normal, I don't think there's a thing as getting back to normal. I think we look forward to normal, but getting back to normal is a thing that won't happen because, you know, we're going to have kind of like ADBC. We're going to have pre-COVID and post-COVID. And so, I think patience is going to be paramount. Number one, number two, I think, and this might sound a bit cliche, but listening, having patience and being able to listen, listening is super elementary, but I think, I believe that the more advanced we become as a society and the more elevated and educated we get as individuals, I think we listen less. I think we've kind of come into conversations with preconceived notions and prepackaged thoughts. And instead of adjusting based on the new info that we get presented, we kind of try to adjust the info to fit our thought pattern. And so when talking to others, especially in leadership, I think it's going to be paramount that we listen to both what's said and what's not said, to those that we lead, because that's going to be absolutely critical as we move forward, you know, now with what we've been given.
Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. Patience and listening. Something I sometimes throw out in some of our training classes is you've heard of read between the lines. Yep. You also have to listen between the lines, which that's is what right. you said, kind of listen for what's said, but also listen for what's not said. That's hey, this right. has been fantastic. Give us a few seconds to, you know, pub whatever you got. How can people get a hold of you? What do you have? What do you do? Go ahead and share a little bit with us.
Sure. Absolutely. Again, I appreciate the opportunity. It's been fun. Time also. But yeah, I can be reached. My website is just simply www.anthonydsparks.com. Social media, my username on all platforms is just Anthony D. Sparks, super easy to find. And also I do a weekly podcast. The name of the podcast is Crock Pod, like crock pot that you cook in, but Crock Pod, the D, Crock Pod Conversations. We do it every week. Been so floored by how that's doing. We got over 10,000 downloads now, 25 countries. I think it's a good listen, definitely entertaining and inspiring. I try to be at least. And so check it out. But yeah, Anthony D. Sparks website, social media, et cetera. You can get me like that and I'll be more than responsive to you. So
Anthony's also a fellow author, got a couple books out there that he's written. So he can help you out there. Hey, we'll definitely bring you back for a future. I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for spending time with us. You're awesome, buddy. I hope we get to have lunch again soon. Brian. Yep.
Thanks, Anthony. your five-star rating on Apple Podcasts is something to be desired, and I know that you know your podcast is the kind of thing that we aspire to be as well. Wow. So thank you for being on.
I thank you all. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good night.
All right. You all too.
All right, man. That was good. He's good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, patience and listening. That's where we need our audience to be patient, because right now they're saying, when can we play the game? Oh, it's time for Over and Under. You know it, buddy. It's the world famous leadership statistics game show called Over and Under. And in the future, remind me, I probably should have asked Anthony to stay and play. I think I kicked him. off. But that
it would have been great because
would have been fun.
A lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about here on Over Under goes to what Anthony was talking about you know being intentional as a leader with you know your purpose and understanding your purpose as a leader and you know to practice patience and be a good listener.
Sorry about that, Anthony. We'll get you to stay next time. Too many buttons for me. Also, if you're watching on Facebook Live right now or you're watching on LinkedIn Live, we want you to play along. Use the comment box to give us your answers so we can post your answers. And if you're listening in your car on the recorded version or an exercise bike or whatever you're doing, just play along with yourself and say the answers out loud, and then you can reward yourself by saying, I knew that.
Yeah, that's it. So. Yeah. Here's how this is going to work. I'll be presenting Pete and our listeners with a few interesting and timely statistics. And you are all going to have to decide if the actual number is over or under the number I give you. So we do, like Pete said, you know, we want to encourage you all to play along. Go ahead and chat in those answers. And let's get to it. So,
ready.
Pete, there is a leading people in performance platform. There's a lot of alliteration there. It's called 15-5, and they recently released their 2020 workplace report. So it's an annual report of, you know, the latest workplace trends, and it's a survey that was taken by managers and employees. And the report found three main issues that we'll kind of get into here, but it has to do with, you know, how managers view the job they're doing, versus how their direct reports feel like they're doing during the pandemic. You know, whether they have the right tools, and whether managers are able to do their job effectively during the pandemic. So obviously when these issues are not addressed, they can negatively impact your organization. So first question, here we go.
Ready.
What percentage of managers said they find it more difficult to perform their job effectively during the pandemic this year? Is it over or under 65%?
Go ahead. I think you froze, but say it again.
Oh, I thought you were practicing your listening skills. What percentage of managers said they find it more difficult to perform their job effectively during the pandemic? Over or under 65%?
I am going to use myself as the model, which is rare because I rarely do modeling. And I'm going to say it's higher. I'm going to say it's over that, my friend, because it has been difficult to be a manager during this time. You have to deal with all the regular management stuff and the tasks and the processes. But like Anthony was talking about, you also got to shift to leadership, and people are remote, and you also have the kids and they're being homeschooled. Then you got family issues, and some people have lost their jobs, their spouses and all of that. So I'm going to say it's probably got to be in the 70s of people who say it's harder to manage. So let's see what some of the people in the audience today are saying. Our good buddy Scott, who likes to listen every week with his daughter, he's taking the over. Smoking Hot Terry is taking the over. My daughter Madison, good. Greg, well done. Stash of the Week is taking the over. No, he's taking the under. Wow. Oh. Joseph's going over. Gloria's going over.
Hi, Mom.
Smoking Hot Wife's going over. Yeah, most of us think that it's harder to manage during this time, except for my buddy Greg. Let's see. What do you got?
I'm giving the bell to Greg. It's actually under 65%, but just barely. It's 63%.
Ooh.
3% of managers actually said they find it more difficult than usual to perform their job effectively. And the report also goes on to say that this feeling increases with the amount of responsibility that the manager has.
Okay. And you know what? If we were to reframe the question, that's almost two-thirds, right? So almost 66%. So almost two-thirds of managers thinks it's more difficult right now. What are you hearing, Brian, where you work? Now, again, you work kind of in a remote workforce, so not a lot of the logistics have changed. But are you hearing anything about how it's more difficult in your organization right now to manage?
No. I'm not.
Because you're so used to the, yeah, because you're kind of a remote organization.
It's interesting. A lot of managers feel like it's, all right, so like you said, two-thirds of managers feel like it's more difficult to perform their job as a leader, right?
Right.
That number should be higher, right? I was with you. I only knew the answer because I read the report, but. Yeah.
I thought it would be 75 or 80, which means what I'd like to know is I'd love to get some data from the 34% who were saying, no, it's really not that hard at all. I'm like, what are you doing right? Or what industries are you in? Or how are you finding the balance to actually perform this new style. Maybe they're just like, I'm just good at what I do and I do it all the time. Or maybe there's some type of process or Excel spreadsheet or something that, you know, that they use.
Or it could, to like kind of help them. Greg Busby says, it also could just, it could go to ego, you know?
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. 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 Not everyone's going to say that it's hard.
Which is an interesting transition to our next question.
Excellent. Bring it on. And by the way, John Roberts is joining us tonight. By the way, I believe your mom says hello.
Did you notice?
So
put up straighter.
She's like, her name, Brian. Brian, shave that goatee. I don't even know if she talks that way, but that's how I imagine that Gloria will talk. Brian. All right, go ahead.
All right, Pete. What percentage of employees in this report said that they are finding it more difficult than usual?
You lost your play. You lost the article.
You know what? I moved. You can't see what I'm doing here, but I moved my little document over. I started reading the first question again.
All right.
Percentage of employees said that they are getting the support they need from their managers.
No.
What percentage of employees said they are definitely getting the support they need from their managers? Okay. Is it over or under 60%?
Okay. Again, I'm going to go with and I don't know if you're trying to do a trick question here or not, but it's got to be under. I mean, it's because, again, when we're all in the office, I can connect. I can read your body language. I can react to obstacles that are in your way right away. When I'm remote, I get you on a Zoom call or you've got multiple things and I just can't get in. So, I mean, common sense is going to dictate that employees don't feel like they're getting the support that they need right now. We'll see what the audience says. Sherry says under. Again, Scott's going under. John Roberts, thanks for joining us tonight, John, on LinkedIn. He's taking the under. And what I'm trying to do, Brian, is I'm trying to think why it would be over. Why would employees think that they're getting more support? So I'm trying to talk myself into that, because maybe employees are saying they're getting more support because managers are overcompensating by double checking and triple checking and all that. But I just don't think so. And most people agree with me. Greg's going under. Joseph's going under. We're all going under, buddy. Give us a bell.
All right. Giving the bell to Cedric, who said over. So it's actually 69%. 69% of employees said that they are getting the support they need from their managers. But get this, 84% of managers believe that they are giving employees the support they need. So there's a huge gap there. Only 69% of employees agree. And we're not talking about getting more support than usual during the pandemic. We're just talking about a minimum level of, you know, are you getting support you need?
Yeah.
And
again, support can be defined in multiple ways. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Almost 80% of employees say, yeah, we're getting the support we need. Yeah. But nearly 85% of managers are like, yeah, we're doing great.
We're doing great. So again, there's a huge gap of 15% there. Yeah. All right. So I can't tell. Am I 0-2 or 1-1?
You are 0-2.
Okay, good. Let's be consistent. All right. Finish up strong. How many do you have one or two more for me?
One more.
All right, let's do it. Come on, everybody. Here we go.
A couple of sub-bullets here. All right.
Did you ever see Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah.
Remember the scene at the end where we had to take a final exam and the professor goes, I only have one question in 84 parts. That was fantastic. That was brilliant.
I award you 19 points, and may God have
God have mercy on your soul.
All right, here's a good one. What percentage of employees now feel that their one-on-one meetings with their managers are helpful? So when it goes to the meetings themselves, you talked about doing a Zoom call during the pandemic with your employees. So as a leader, you know, you're reaching out and trying to have these one-on-ones, right? Mm-hmm. What percentage of employees feel that their one-on-one meetings with their managers are helpful? Over or under 50%?
Okay, I'm going to do the opposite now because you burned me so many. I'm going to say over. I'm going to say that managers are taking more time on Zoom because they have to prepare. They have to ask the right questions. Maybe they're micromanaging and checking in more than they should. And the employees are like, wow, these are better than any one-on-ones I ever had in person. So I'm going to say more than 50% think that the one-on-ones are successful. I'm talking myself into this when it's probably the wrong answer, but I'm talking myself into it. So Terry agrees with me and says over. Greg's going with the under. Sherry's taking the over. And by the way, if y'all get 3 for 3, all you got to do is email Brian and I, and you get a complimentary Leadership and Laughs bumper sticker to put on your car. So you just let us know about that. Yes, exactly. Megan, thank you for joining us. It's so good to see you, buddy. Megan's joined us tonight. She's going with the over. So good to see her. Joseph taking the over. John, I tell you, Brian, you have definitely stumped the audience because most of the time, most people were one way or the other. I think I may have talked some people into over, or people think that I'm 0-2. So they're taking the under on purpose because I took the over. My daughter's smart. She's taking the over.
Hey, Madison. All right. No, giving the bell, Pete, to the unders. Only 47% of employees feel that their one-on-ones are helpful compared to, are you ready for this? 74% of managers. So 74% of the managers out there feel like, you know, well, hey, I'm reaching out to my employees. We're connecting. We're having the Zoom meetings. We're one-on-one. You know, what do you need? I just want to make sure you're okay, or are you well taken care of? And these meetings are not helpful.
Yes, this is adding no value to my life at all. In fact, I'm falling behind on my work.
Yeah, and you know, employees with monthly or less frequent one-on-ones are actually 1.4 times more likely to say that they're currently looking for a new job as those with at least weekly one-on-ones. So the you know, having a weekly one-on-one seems to be helping, but I think it speaks to the quality of that meeting. I think there's a lot of meetings like that that are, you know, yeah, my leader connected with me, but it's not, it's just not really been helpful.
Yeah, I'd like to have a few folks, but before we move on to the next segment, put in the comments, like, what are your biggest struggles if you're a manager or a leader with leading people right now in this environment? Because, Brian, we do a lot of leadership and management training where I work, and we've got all these training classes, and we do, but none of it is designed for leading remote employees. None of it is designed for people who work 2 days at home and 3 days in the office. It's all based on 100% face-to-face coaching, face-to-face feedback, face-to-face motivation. So, again, some of us, not all of us, are remote, kind of like some of you, but it's just interesting because we're not trained for this. So if I'm using the way that I used to coach and develop in an online way or in a Zoom way, I'm going to stand back and go, I did it. And like you said, 47% are going to go, well, you did it horribly. I put a check mark by it. So yeah, we need to find some resources that kind of help us. How do you coach remotely? How do you develop? And how do you prevent Zoom fatigue? Because now I'm meeting with you one-on-one on Zoom, and I hate meeting. So there's all these things that us as managers have to work towards. And again, looking ahead to 2021, I think Anthony said we're all trying to get back to the new normal. Instead, we should be looking forward. And if this is not going to change anytime soon, what resources do we need as managers and leaders to start doing this better?
Yeah. Let's progress in the new normal.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you all for playing. Give yourself a like or give yourself a 3 out of 3 in the comments. If you're a huge winner, we're excited for you. Go ahead and buy yourself a bell. Give yourself a bell because you're so fired up. All right, one more segment. Let's have some fun with this one.
Just the music is motivation, isn't it? There we are.
You know what's funny?
You were. Were you muted?
Well, what's funny is on this site that we're using, whenever videos pop up, it mutes our microphones automatically. So we can't talk when the music and the bumpers are playing. But we can unmute ourselves. But then when we do, the music is not just coming through there. It's coming through our mics as well. So as I'm listening, I'm hearing like five different versions of the theme song playing in my ear when we open our mics, and it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
So maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, we'll cut this part out of the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're live.
I don't know how to do that. So, all right. Anyhow, this is called The Daily Disney. Why do we call it The Daily Disney? Because my buddy Brian and I both worked at Disney for a combined over 25 years. We hang our hats on that. We hang our hats on that, and we say we have learned so many lessons from the Disney company. And we say a shout out to all of our friends right now who are watching, who work at Disney or did work at Disney, anything like that. And Brian, we take a segment, we talk about Disney leadership, Disney customer service, Disney employee engagement, how you can tie that to your leadership journey. Well, I got lazy today. And whenever I get lazy, I call it the viewer's choice segment. Hold on, I think we've got to scroll for it. Is that it?
Choice segment.
Oh, no, it's right here. It's viewer's choice. That means.
Oh, yeah.
I get to Who designed this cover? Who designed that cover?
Somebody who's got some graphic skills.
That would be you, my buddy. Yeah. So what we're going to do, everybody, is we're going to, rather than us tell you, you're going to pick numbers 1 through 55. And go ahead in the comments right now of Facebook or LinkedIn Live, throw in a number between 1 and 55. I'm going to open to that chapter. I'm going to tell you the story that we learned from Disney. And then Brian and I are going to have witty banter all about how we can take this story or this trait and put it into leadership. Now, the worst case scenario, Brian, is if everybody has logged off and no one puts a number in there, and then we're absolutely stuck.
We got a couple coming
in. Let's get those numbers coming in. 37 is a good number. Oh, good one. Scott, appreciate you. Number one, good. I'm going to wait. Unlucky 13, Madison. You know what? I think this is the first time that Megan Michelle may have joined us or commented. So we are going to do that. And then John Roberts, we may go to 52. Let's start with the good Megan Michelle. Thank you. Thank you for joining. Lucky eight.
Hi, Megan.
Yeah, and Megan, awesome.
Yeah.
Remember Megan? Everybody loved Megan. I love Megan. All right, here we go. Chapter 8. Here we go, buddy. Sometimes I wonder how I wrote a book when I can't even read. Chapter 8. Yeah. Act like a leader at all times. Like, that's actually something we have to write about. Act like a leader at all times. All right, here's the Disney story that goes with this. So I just got promoted to management, Brian, at Disney's Port Orleans Resort.
I've heard of it.
And I was there, and I was the closing manager one night, and it was about 8 o'clock at night, and all of the frontline cast. And this is a great example, because many of us in our lives have gone from what's called from buddy to boss, or from peer to boss, where you start managing the people who you were once side by side with. So that was me. We were all peers. And then I got promoted to the management role. Well, you know, as well as I do, buddy, that as soon as you get promoted, you have to start acting a little differently because you're in management now. But then people go, oh, you've changed. You're not fun like you used to be. And I was young and I was having a hard time bridging that. So believe it or not, one night there was a burping contest behind the front desk. And a couple of the front desk cast members were going, no, I can do better. They burped. And then someone else said, I can do better. They burped. And I wanted to be the cool manager, right? So I went, that's nothing. And I went, you know. And all of a sudden, everybody, it's just like a TV show. Everybody stopped and looked at me, and I thought that they were impressed with my belch. Instead, the front office manager, Adriana, had not gone home yet. And so she was standing in the hallway, and she does this, Pete. And you can imagine, everybody goes, ooh, you know, like that.
And right and there, there, you had one of these. You went,
yes. And I shouldn't have done that. And she gave me this whole talk about what it means to act like a leader at all times and what it means that you're no longer a peer. You now have a higher calling and that, you know, you have to make this segment and you can still relate and all this kind of stuff. And it really affected me because it may be sort of shit. Now, it doesn't mean you just flip a switch, Brian, and become I'm big boss person now and I can't, you are little people. What it does mean is there's some common sense things that you have to act and carry yourself with that sort of gravitas, like a leader slash manager.
There's
at all times.
There's nuance to it. And I think we learn that with experience as well.
Yeah.
You know, the older we get, the longer we're, you know, when we worked with Meg and Michelle back in the day at Disney, you know, it was,
we had fun.
We've all learned a lot.
We've all become a leader. So again, some of the things we want to be aware of in this chapter is, again, are there any negative traits or behaviors, Brian, that you have as a supervisor that you should change? And check with your fellow supervisors. Ask them if you have any behaviors that seem too inappropriate or too chummy, and how can you better model this role of a new leader to help in your personal and professional development? So act like a leader at all times, chapter 8. Let's finish up strong. John Roberts, thank you for mentioning chapter 52. Let's go back there. Oh, that was 53. Oh, 52, buddy. Allow for a culture of creative risk-taking.
Yeah.
Leaders should allow for a culture of creative risk-taking. Now, not just risk for the sake of risk, but I tell you, we get some great ideas in our organizations. We get some great creativity and thinking by taking calculated risks, by taking some creative risks. So again, it says here in this book, Brian, 55 Ways to Add Disney Magic to Your Organization, that if the CEO does not create a culture of calculated risk-taking, then there'll never be any creativity and innovation. Disney has had its share of flops, mistakes, and closed attractions, from theme parks to resorts to television, even to merchandising, many mistakes along the way. But the beauty of failure is that it allows the employees to learn, grow, and create something even bigger and better. So again, the idea that as leaders, you people are afraid to fail around you, you need to create a culture that people can take calculated risks, safe risks, creative risks. And if it doesn't work, you know what? We'll fix it. We'll change it. We'll adapt. If it's not costing the company millions of dollars, you don't want your mistake to cost millions of dollars. But sometimes we get too afraid of failure not to take creative risks. You have a culture of creative risk taking where you work now?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. We do get a lot of ideas that come from our frontline sales and marketing people, and you know, we try a lot of them out. We do have a culture that kind of honors that. And I don't want to say that every idea that everybody ever comes up with, we go with, but it's everyone is considered and discussed. And, you know, you talked about having that fear of failure or failing forward. You know, when we talk about, I think there's an amount of risk that the leader has to take in order to install or help grow a culture of, you know, risk taking for their employees. So it's all risk.
Yeah, it all starts at the top. So you have to have that. And if you don't have it in your organization, at least in your department, create something where people aren't afraid, like you said, to fail forward, which I think is pretty cool. So hey, thank you guys for playing along. Sorry we couldn't get to 17, 39, 13. We may try all those a little bit later. But if you want to get them before the next show, Amazon.com, baby. 55 ways to add Disney magic to your organization. So can you hear that?
No. I hear you. I see.
Can you hear it now?
No. I saw Pete Bank loop.
You don't hear anything?
No, I hear you. No music. It's not just me, right?
So why do we always try to like do this cool thing where we have a closing music and all that, and it just never seems to work?
Well,
why is that?
We're creative risk takers, Pete.
We are creative risk takers. We're just going to take this out for a spin where we're going to see if it happens. How about now?
No, we can see the music note.
You still can't hear it?
That's an eighth note.
My life stinks. Well, I can hear it in my ear, so I'm just going to say thanks, everybody. It's been a lot of fun. Brian, I hope you have a fantastic week, my friend. I really hope you do.
Same to you and your family, Pete. Thank you all for listening. We ask that, you know, you guys go out there and do something kind. Be kind, be intentional and purposeful as Anthony Sparks told us tonight. But put some kindness in the world, and let's all love each other.
Amen, brother. All right, man. Have a good week. Thanks, everybody. Tell your friends. We'll see you next Wednesday night.